Hey friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. So glad to have you here joining me today. We are going to talk about community schools because they're going to sell you on this community schools that it's like the best thing ever for your child, for your community. But there's a dark side that they're not going to tell you about. But on this episode, we are going to break down what the community schools are all about. So pay attention to this show. Please like, share, and subscribe. Join me on Telegram. I always add more content there. You can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. You can find me on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May or Clout Hub. And then check out the links below. I have partnered with businesses to help save you money. So please check those out. That way we are voting with our wallet and it's a win-win situation for everyone. We're supporting Patriot businesses. They're giving you a discount and it's also helping The Amber May Show. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider going to the website, theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you can donate. Or you can become a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. So I'm excited for today's show. Please, again, like, share, and subscribe. It's going to be a two-part series on the show. So here we go.
They are, again, training behaviors, but this is where they'll take, instead of traditional disciplinary models, they love mediation. The problem with mediation is the powers have to be equal. Even in a marriage, even if a couple is getting divorced and they go through mediation, it will only work if the power dynamic is equal. If the power dynamic is not equal, it will never work. And so what they will do is they will take bully and their victim and they will do face-to-face mediation. But again, those power dynamics are not even close to equal. So oftentimes it will make it worse. You're taking the victim has to prove and justify their feelings to the bully. They're also doing it as ways to avoid suspension and expulsion, which is why we're seeing this huge ripple effect of behavior. It's just the kids are fighting, drugs, sex in the bathroom. This is elementary school, it's even happening. Vaping in the bathroom, heroin. We have found through, I believe, the safety, a safety grant, again, that kind of breakdown of from the district of each school of why they need these social workers and this funding. That one of the social workers at one of the high schools had mentioned that she's seeing kids on meth, heroin, and that she's meeting with them frequently. And of course, my question is, you're meeting with them frequently. They're in the classroom. They're on campus. That kid should not be on campus, especially now that we have online learning. But they're doing it as ways to have to, the teachers today, instead of saying, this kid misbehaved and I'm sending it into the principal's office and my word is enough. Instead, it is now document, justify, and prove that this child is problematic because the teacher is assumed to be biased and racist.
No, that breaks down everything. I mean, there's at my hardware store just down the street from me, I ran into a man and I got to talking to him. He works at the hardware store. He told me he was a teacher and he loved teaching. The problem was he didn't know if he was going to ever come home at night because it was so dangerous at a school campus. This is a male teacher. Imagine how the female teachers feel.
We had an example of, it was kindergarten. It was first grade. It was one of the two. And this was Vistazzi Elementary. So the child, according to the mother, had started to regress, was not sleeping well, not eating well, and really not wanting to go to school. Huge red flags that there's something going on.
Right.
Child finally opened up to tell her what was going on. And it was a student had brought a knife to school and was threatening this child if the child had said anything to basically gut him, slice him down the middle. When the parents brought it up to the school of concerns, their resolution was to sit down and have the two kids face to face talk it out. Now, again, this is kindergarten, first grade, and you have a child showing signs of post-traumatic stress. They're meeting criteria for that and regression. Those are huge concerns. And to have that child who doesn't want to go to school sit down with the other individual that threatened them is sick. Mm-hmm. I don't know any psychologist in their right mind would ever say that that was the best approach. Mm-hmm. But that's what these multi-tier and this positive behavior, all of these programs, they're all very similar. That's what they're doing. And it's
wow, that would be devastating. Multi-tiered, so we kind of went into this or not yet?
Yeah,
We good? Okay. Oh, this was good. I'm glad you brought this
The
up
safety
with
grant.
the grant, the Arizona safety grant. Tell us, okay, so this says the highlight, you guys highlighted this. Describe the strategies your school used to recruit and provide a timely hire of the position of which you are applying to ensure the community of the position over the 3.5 year period. So you highlighted this for a reason. Do you know why? Do you remember why?
So, because we wanted to know, I believe this is the Arizona safety grant. So this would be the state of Arizona offers, I believe they have $50 million set aside to provide social workers or SROs, school safety officers or resource officers. So that they want to, that they're asking is explain why you're picking one or the other. And then they have to explain and justify why they need it. And so this is where this has kind of started, opened up the, I guess you could say, the black hole of what's going on, because we're seeing these grants that we're getting approved by the boards. They're bringing in a lot of social workers. The question is, how are they getting funded and why are they bringing them in? And so that's where the grants start popping up. They're getting funded through these grants. And then again, that led through kind of our journey. So this is specific to Peoria, but all the districts are probably very likely the same.
Mm-hmm. To me as a parent, I would rather have the SROs there than 22 social workers, because if a kid's going to come on campus with a firearm, which we just saw a few weeks ago, and then, like you just described, the kid with a knife, who's going to handle that better? Who's
even
trained and qualified for that? The social worker or the school resource officer?
We see a lot of videos of just fights, which are daily, substantial fights. You don't see very many social workers hanging around there. You need an SRO to literally pull that child off and drag them off campus. You're not going to have a social worker do that. And they don't do it. You don't ever see them.
No. And also what I like about the social, the SROs is I've been friends with some of them. They have literally helped these children have a safe place to go and report abuse at home, because they've developed this relationship with the students. And so if they're getting abused at home, a lot of the SROs have been able to help these children. So there's a lot of reasons, but the number one reason for me is with all the safety issues that have happened on a public school campus, the SRO is much more equipped to handle that than the social worker. And so that's insane. 20, and this is just in Peoria school district, 22 social workers.
But they're all the districts are applying.
Wow.
And I believe most of them are social workers over SROs. I think Dysart is one of the few school districts that are opting. They're kind of phasing out their social workers and bringing in SROs.
And I just want to make this clear. This is not just in Arizona. This is going nationwide, right, Devin?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought.
And again, so those organizations that we talked to early, those are national organizations.
Look at this. $848,000. Wow. Yeah. In grant money. That's a lot of money. So here's another one. Federal grant ESEA Title IV, Section 8. Congress reauthorized ESEA in 2015. States can leverage ESEA to address systematic inequity and focus on whole children education by doing the following, including measures of school climate. And SEL supports in state accountability systems, replacing exclusionary discipline practices, which we just talked about, with SEL support and a sort of justice practice, advancing whole child education as school improvement strategies. So far, I'm not seeing anything about improving a child, because if your child is illiterate and can't read and can't write, then how is this a whole child education? Right now, all I'm hearing is, we're going to sexualize the child. They're going to not be disciplined like they should, and so on and so forth. This is what I'm hearing. Where's the education? We still haven't heard anything about how the whole school, whole child is going to benefit my child academically. I haven't heard that yet. And then do we need to go into this slide? ADE school security request. Did we kind of hit on that already? I think so. Safe and healthy study category.
It's going to be a little bit too specific to Peoria as well, but I'm sure other schools are taking advantage of it. But one of the issues with this, what we had found, was school campuses. So security doors, Peoria specifically, and again, I'm sure other districts are doing the same, is Peoria is desperate for a bond right now, the passage of a bond. And they are using that bond. They're going to use the kids in ways to get what they have in schools. At Estancia, for example, they use their school to care and security physical measures, their campus. Their money was district money. Other schools and parts of the district don't have their be told. All right. Sorry about that.
No problem.
My no service problem. Is always hit or miss. So as I was saying before with the grants, Title IV was that they're using the bond. They're telling those schools that can't afford it to wait for the bond to get it. Now, Title IV grant, which we had learned when you threw it in, is that that funding, which they are using for social workers, they're also using for electives such as, you know, band and art, which is fine, except when you have the environment that we're living in today, when you have schools that don't have cameras, that don't have the locks on the doors, they don't have those specific measures to protect their campus and keep the kids safe, that to have that money go to areas that are frivolous, in my opinion, they're expendable and not priorities, is a concern. And so to say that they don't have the money, Dr. Sandoval, the Peoria Unified School Board president, mentioned this even last night with the Title IX discussion, of saying
I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show, so stay tuned. Amber May.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
everything was done. The only thing that they did was the two boys so that they were in the same classroom. But that teacher who was assaulted had to teach that child in a confined space for 8 hours, which again, who, what world would you tell the victim of assault that they have to do that? But that is our world. It's a sad. And again, they would never notify parents. That was the issue I'd had with the principal and the superintendent when I talked to them. I said, you know, I get 10 plus notifications for COVID, but you're not going to pick up the phone and tell me that my son's teacher was assaulted on the playground in front of the entire class. No.
Wow. That's insane to me. Wow. So the CDC involvement in whole school, whole community child education. So didn't we learn nothing? Didn't we learn anything from COVID? The CDC involvement with COVID, and we had the tools available to fight it, and they weren't allowing physicians to provide these tools. It was only certain ones. I mean, did we not learn that it was a bioweapon? I mean, did we not learn these things? And yet we're going to allow the CDC in the school system?
Wow. So that's what they're calling it. Whole school, whole community, whole child. So this breaks down even comprehensive sex ed in public schools. That's going to be part of the national education standards. That's part of the CDC's model. And that would be, that's where I mentioned with the health clinics that it's not just well checks. It's not just going to be your vaccines, but they also want your sexual health to be taken over. So birth control, condoms. I always joke, but it's not really a joke, that throw in abortions. Why stop there, you know, with birth control?
Well, that could happen. Maybe that is.
I know. I said it's a joke, but not really a joke.
God, yeah. No kidding. And you're a healthcare provider. So that says something. Okay. Yeah. You as a healthcare provider are sounding the alarms for this. That should say something to people, because this is your world. This is your expertise. This is what you know. Yeah. So I don't know. This is crazy to me.
Also, when you think of like the private practice, we are, you know, in the real world, there's very strict rules with privacy and child protection of minors. You can't, a parent can't drop off their kid and just have them come in. They have to be in the room. They have to have a signed letter, if they say the child, the teenager, and driving, to say I consent, but they are typically always there. It's these strict rules that have just been the way it is. And it's, yes, it makes sense. But to have the schools being able to bypass that, it's scary stuff.
Even my OBGYN, right? He has his medical assistant with him to protect himself, to protect me. You know, it's just a wise thing to do.
Government doesn't have liability.
So funding and implementation, Medicaid, reimbursement, mental health and safety, the grants. Okay, so let's see, what do we need to know about that? Unless you already covered it.
So this is how we discovered Medicaid. So a bulletin went out from Medicaid. So CMS is Medicaid, Medicare. So for example, in medicine, I deal with a lot of Medicare patients. So when we charge and submit claims to Medicare, it's always going to be CMS. So that's where you're going to see CMS. That is Medicaid, Medicare. So this is going to break down the bulletin that they sent out. And we had highlighted some key areas. I can't read it. It's too small for me. Let's see if I can
school board, school board services and Medicaid funding, documentation, expanding services, the early periodic screening, diagnostic and treatment in a Medicaid benefit, school settings provide a unique opportunity to enroll eligible children and adolescents in Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program, furnished Medicaid coverage services, including behavioral health services, to eligible children, and help children who are enrolled in Medicaid access the service they needed. CMS and the U.S. Department of Education are supportive of school-based health programs. That should scare everyone. To help states and school-based providers implement, maintain, expand their school-based programs the most efficient manner possible. What I'm hearing President Ronald Reagan say, when the government says they're here to help, that should be scary too. Like, you should run. Right? This is what's ringing through my head is his quote. And didn't you guys say at our LD meeting that parents might have to sign away some of their rights, or did I?
So that's going to be, we have an example of a consent. So it kind of brought down how what they're kind of wanting to do and who's doing it. But then we have the final product. And so there'll be slides on that for, you can see in California and Denver. And we actually have a consent where they sign a consent. If they want their child to use the health clinic, they sign a consent, say in September. But that one-time consent allows that child access to that clinic for the entire rest of the year.
Wow.
I think I actually have, let's see, the consent with me. Consent's from Denver. So yeah, okay. So it has, so what services do the school-based health clinic offer? They have prescriptions, medications, well checks. They do telehealth services, acute care injuries, but reproductive health services, including pregnancy testing, birth control management, and gender-affirming care. So that's going to be that health clinic that your child can go to. Parental involvement, a parent or guardian must consent, sign a consent form before their student can use the health services. Once this is done at one time, so again, you could be talking September, the student may use the health center at any time to initiate their own visit during the 12 months, which means the parents don't know what the kids are going for. So you may say that, oh, of course, that's great. My kid scrapes his knee or gets a sprain. That's great. I don't have to come pick him up. That's not consenting to gender affirming care or reproductive health. But once that consent's done, it's the child can do whatever they need to.
And you're in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, in the state of Colorado, the Colorado state law allows minors to access confidential mental health, reproductive health services, and confidential vaccines, including HPV, Hep A, Hep B, without parental consent. If a student meets the age requirements by law to request psychotherapy services or reproductive health services, a signed consent form may not be required. Let's see, families will not have to pay copays, deductibles, or fees to be seen. Insurance will be billed, but without family costs. So again, insurance, so private insurance, that's the reference, private insurance. I believe the Medicare bulletin also kind of at some point references private insurances. That's a huge red flag. And then to say, how are they going to know that? Well, schools are asking for your insurance information at the beginning of the school year in case of an emergency. So yeah, they do have your insurance information, but the fact that they would be submitting charges without you knowing is just mind-boggling, and that they are allowed to do that is mind-boggling to me.
Let's get this straight. Okay. A child cannot smoke a but go purchase cigarettes until they're 18. At 18, they're allowed to enlist in the military. They cannot drink alcohol until they're 21.
Oh, they can't go to R-rated movie until they're 17.
True. And they can't vote until they're 18. They can't consent to sex. But the UN wants to say, don't worry about that. If the kid said it's okay, that's on my website too. You need to check it out under the resource tab, under child trafficking. There's a whole thing about that, as the UN wants to allow, is trying to push that any kid, no matter what their age, doesn't matter what the law and the land says, they can consent to sex with an adult. But legally, as far as the United States is concerned, you can't consent to sex till you're 18. Yet they're going to have these children make medical decisions on their own.
And that, you know, kids, when it talks about the development of mind, obviously the reason of 18 is there for a reason. In fact, you could probably even justify and argue to be pushed back even. Especially in this day and age of these kids, because they are growing up slower. They're about 2 years behind socially with their maturity. But when you think about the brain development, so if you think about a toddler, a two-year-old, one-year-old, two-year-old, they are from the one first perspective. That's their only ability. They can't go beyond it. So to ask them to share, and I would say this to my son when he would get frustrated with his younger sister, I'd say, you know, you might as well ask her to fly. When you are trying to get her to share, she can't do it. She can't understand it. It's her world. If she wants it, that's all that matters. So again, might as well ask her to fly. And then about school age, so about 5, 6, they start to expand. They're starting to grow and they can start understanding other people and the concept of sharing and other people in their world. There is a second kind of brain development about late teens, but it goes all the way into the 20s. Where consequences, they don't have prior to that consequences. So if you think about, we always hear, we say, I was so stupid when I was a kid. You were, in a way, because you don't have the consequences. When you go as an adult, I say, I go up to a ski slope with my kids. They go straight down. And I used to do that. I take my time. And they say, well, gosh, you're so slow. I have to drive you home. I have to get to work. I have to pick up your sister. All these things, all those reasons cannot, your brain can't process it. Those are consequences or after effects. Their brain can go to A to B. It's pain, pleasure at this very moment. It can't get to C, D, E, and F. So I saw one time a video of one of these 16 and pregnant type shows. And the interview was to the girl and boy, she was pregnant. Why didn't you use condoms? And his response was, well, they are expensive. Which you say, gosh, that's the stupidest thing you could say, because you want to talk expensive, have a kid. But if you think about his ability as a 16-year-old, he's correct. He can't get to 9 months from now. His brain only has the ability to go from that day. So in that moment, he's correct. Condoms in that moment were more expensive than not using condoms. But that's their ability, which is why you can't give them informed consent. When you had the COVID vaccine, which would infuriate me with kids, of saying you can give it at school, their informed consent is going to be, do I get a longer recess? Is my friend Johnny getting it? That's it. It's not long-term effects. It's not adverse reactions. It's none of, they don't have that ability. You're asking them to fly and they can't do it. And so when you have this gender affirming care, which is maddening to me, or sexual health, sexual prep, all of these things, they don't know the consequences of any of that. And they don't have the ability to do that. So either is they're minors for a reason. And that's where, as parents, our role is to protect them, because we do have the ability to make rule those consequences.
That's a good point. So that's a very good point. See, this is why we need a medical expert to break this down. So about the school-based health center, I think we talked about that. Let's see. And then this.
So these are going to be California, for example. So right now, of the entire state, they have 293 health school-based health clinics. And there is reference, I can't remember quite where we saw it, that the idea would be to only also make it open to the public, because it would be a community school-based health clinic, which, I mean, what could go wrong with that? Let's just let anybody on school campus. And then you think about what type of individual typically is going to be utilizing those type of clinics. Probably not the ideal individual that you'd want to be around children. But yeah, so this kind of breaks down all of the, in each city, how many school-based health clinics there are in the state of California. And then this is going to be Denver. So that consent that I read, that's from Denver school-based health clinic. So it's, I think every public school in Denver has access to a school-based healthcare clinic. So these are the final models. This is what the end is going to be. So when we see things like Arizona passing these grants and pushing these social workers, and that they're charging Medicaid and Medicaid is funding, this is the end product, what they ultimately want. And Medicaid will pay for the social worker, even their office and the electricity to their office. And that is in that Medicaid bulletin, breaking down how they are funding it.
Wow. Wow. Well, Devin, you gave us a lot to think about. I'm so glad you came on and shared all this information with us. I think parents need to be equipped just to know what's out there. What are they signing their kids up for? If parents want to still do that, well, now they're informed. They got informed consent, because now the parents know what these community schools are all about. So for those that don't want to do that, there's, you know, at least in the state of Arizona, and I hope they'll adopt it at other places, but there's the empowerment scholarship that you could get from the state of Arizona. There's scholarship tuition organizations, and then there's homeschooling. So if you want to get your kids out of public school, Arizona has opened up ways to do so. Hopefully other states will follow, but
ESA funds can be used for homeschooling. So that's tutoring and supplies and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where I'm at this point, pull your kids, really, at this point. Pull them. Get them away from public schools. They are, I think it's a moving train. It's a sad.
Very sad. Sad day. Well, thank you so much. If you have more to share with us, please come back on the show. I'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile, Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code AMBER at checkout.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.